discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, it was a talent discovered by his parents, a skill honed in years of piano lessons in a garage band and tickling the ivories in a hotel lobby to pay for school. Now the acclaimed recording artist Matt Marr is crafting heartfelt songs, speaking to so many across the globe. His newest effort is The Advent of Christmas and the children's book of the same name, both releasing this coming Friday as you hear this. And we welcome the good man on the road today. It is a pleasure to have you here, Mr. Marr. How's it going today, sir?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
I don't usually start these things out by quoting Herman Melville, but because of the just the incredibly deep nature of your songs and your songwriting talent, you've been one of those people we've been looking forward to talking to for a while. So you're sort of like the white whale of On the Road. Is that okay to say?
Sure. Why not?
Now, it really doesn't seem that you've had any shortage of things to keep you busy of late. I mean, new albums, new books. You're on a national concert tour as well. Is October always like this for you, or is this special?
No, I would say it's pretty much been like this. You know, I mean, October is a busy month for everyone, period. The rhythm of American life still follows the rhythm of agriculture, even though most of us are completely detached from the process of making food. And in the sense that, like, our whole school year is designed around the seasons, but it's ultimately, some of it was designed around, agriculture. Kids got the summer off because that's when you needed them the most, probably, to do a ton of work. And October has always been a busy month anyways, because that's, so even before kids started going to school, that was basically when harvest started. And so October's always been a busy month for families, it feels like. But even now, you know, when you look at what the school year looks like now with kids, football's in full swing. Maybe basketball is starting. Kids they're well into school. They usually get fall break at some point now. It's just a busy time of activity for families and kids, you know. And it's funny now, having kids and understanding the nature of extracurricular activities now, mm-hmm. and how much more time consuming they are. That's all very, very time consuming. And then on top of it, yes, the work that I do, October is a busy month for touring. So, especially in Christian music, in country music, it's kind of winding down right now, but,
Interesting.
My next door neighbor was a drummer for a long time for a country artist. And his life was basically really busy from about the end of March until October.
Huh. Okay. Fascinating.
And, yeah, it is it's seasonal work. You shut down during Christmas, you shut down kind of, at least in Christian music, no one really tours in the month of May. First part of June. The summers are lighter. It really kicks in the fall and then in the spring. Spring's actually much more busy.
Hmm. Well, you sure don't sound overwhelmed. You sound like you're just kind of sitting back with a Coke in your hand and you're just firing on all cylinders right now. How do you do that?
Well, it's a cup of coffee, but you're pretty much dead on. First and foremost, it's prayer. You can't do anything without praying.
Hmm.
As a Christian, you can't do anything in the spirit of Jesus without being connected, tethered to Jesus. And that only comes through prayer. There's a million and one ways you can work out 5 days, 6 days a week, which is great. It does great things for your body and for your brain, your sense of like well-being. But prayer is really, really important. I've been reminded of this a lot, especially this fall. You know, the great thing about the Christian faith is there's a million and one ways to connect with God. Mm. And he's in them all. And he'll meet you in a mall. So, not in a shopping mall. I mean, he might, you know, but that's not what I meant. He'll meet you in all these different forms of prayer that we have, whether it's, you know, contemplation, it's reading the scriptures. You know, a lot of people listen to worship music. And it, all of it's great as long as it leads to that sort of moment of connection.
Yeah.
With the Spirit of God, hopefully there's the leftover residue of prayer, which is ultimately peace.
Yes. Well said. So well said. Mr. Matt Marr is with us. He's the acclaimed recording artist behind the new Christmas effort, The Advent of Christmas, and the children's book of the same name, both releasing this Friday. And let's talk about those very things. This special duo hitting the street soon. This is your first take on a full-length Christmas album, right, sir? Why now, and how did you take your inspiration from the Advent calendar?
With the passing of my father in 2017, that Christmas, I started writing Christmas songs during Advent and just thought, yeah, this is the time to make it. It was the right time schedule-wise and all of that stuff. But honestly, I think the real reason of why it was time was because I needed to experience what so many other people around the world experience during the holidays, which is the kind of bittersweet nature of entering into the holidays without people that are really close to you. And it will completely catch you off guard. In the sense that you have no idea how many memories you've made with someone until a holiday comes back around and all the traditions and things that you do, you've spent your whole life doing it with this person, part of it. And then all of a sudden, they're not there anymore. And they are, but in one way, but then in another way, they're not.
Yeah.
So it was very, very, yeah, it was very painful. But bittersweet in the sense too, because knowing my dad is with God in heaven and he's worshiping for all of eternity. So, but there was this sense of closeness in the midst of the longing, if that makes sense.
And, it does. Yep.
And missing my dad, but at the same time, you know, having my kids and my wife now and having a family and experiencing the holidays with them, it kind of brings things full circle and brings a healing in a way. So it was sort of in the midst of all that I started writing new songs as well as thinking about what older songs I wanted to record.
When it comes to the favorites of Christmas. I mean, there's maybe no season with more options, right? I mean, how in the world do you narrow it down when it comes to deciding which of the favorites you want to feature?
Yeah, it's really, really difficult. And a lot of it had to do, for me, not necessarily with what are my favorite songs, but it was looking at the songs that I'd written and then thinking about famous, well-known Christmas carols and contemporary, you know, secular Christmas songs and figuring out, okay, which one should I record that like complement those so that it feels like a cohesive work.
Mm.
And that was ultimately kind of a lot of what drove the process for me. And some of it was obvious, you know, like, O Come, Emmanuel, because it's an Advent, you know, it's not just a Christmas record. I needed to make a record about the passing of Advent to Christmas, which is, you know, it's a play on the title's a play on words of the Advent of Christmas. You know, I mean, Advent means arrival.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a really slow arrival. It's like, wow, that took 4 weeks, you know, who takes 4 weeks to show up? But that's the season. And there's a lot of wisdom in walking through that season first and how that season prepares us and makes a space in our hearts for the celebration of Christmas in a deeper way, so that Christmas isn't just a day and then we're done with it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what's happened now, in the sense that Christmas actually starts, it's funny, it's now it's a 30-day long celebration. You know, in the Catholic and in the Orthodox Church, Christmas is an octave. So there's 12 days of Christmas after Christmas.
Right.
And now we celebrate Christmas the day after Thanksgiving, and it kind of gradually emerges more and more and more until Christmas Day, and then it's like, and it's over. And I think there's two ways that Christians could respond to that. You could either say to people, well, you shouldn't be, that's the wrong way to celebrate Christmas, which just feels pretty heavy-handed. You know, it just kind of sounds like a bit like moral superiority, because people don't know any better. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are just unchurched. They don't really care. So you have to present a compelling reason for why Advent. Why would I want to celebrate Advent? Why would I want to light three purple candles and one pink one? Why is the third week different than the fourth week?
Yeah.
You know what? Why do I have to wait? I don't need to wait. I can order it on Amazon and it'll be here in the same day. So what, you know, I think there's a lot of, not education, it's just more witnessing, and it's simple witnessing through people themselves walking through the season, that would be very compelling and very hopeful, I think, to a world that wants to rediscover the idea of waiting and longing for hope, peace, joy, and love.
That's beautiful. I want to ask you about the book specifically in just a moment, but if you are tuning in today and wondering who this thoughtful man is, thinking maybe, boy, that sounds familiar. Where have I heard that voice before? Well, this is Mr. Matt Marr, the acclaimed recording artist behind the new Christmas effort, The Advent of Christmas, and the children's book of the same name. They're both releasing this coming Friday. You've talked a little bit about the book, and I loved the way that you phrased it. You talked about it in terms of something that the family could read together. The kids would enjoy the art, and then they prepare together. What does that mean to you? Sort of paint us the picture of what you imagined would happen when you put this together.
Well, everybody has their own traditions that they start, you know, kind of in the weeks leading up to Christmas. And there's a million and one things you can do. And you can buy, like, these calendars. And, you know, we had this tree that had these little tiny books on it. And each little booklet had a scripture. And you'd, like, take it off the tree and you'd read it. And the kids would each get a chocolate. And when it came time to talk about this record, I just spend so much time putting my kids to sleep. So much time as a parent with early kids that, you know, you spend an hour and a half to 2 hours every day, you know, trying to get your kids to go to bed. And I thought, wow, how could we, you know, tell a story in the middle of that and start to talk about just the concepts of Advent. And once again, not be so heavy-handed with it, with high theological terms and concepts, and just present it simply enough that a kid could understand it. But that also, here's the thing, that the language of Advent, it's in everyone's memory. It's not so forgotten. You know, Lutherans invented it, but, you know, 40, 50 years ago, you saw Advent wreaths in people's houses. You saw candles. You know, the idea of not just hearing the story of the nativity, but the story of the conception of Jesus, the story of an angel appearing to Joseph, the story of Mary visiting Elizabeth, the stories of, at the same time, Jesus in the Gospels talking about signs in the heavens and on the earth and thinking about the second coming, and Gospels hearing John the Baptist saying, prepare the way. That's in everybody's memory, pretty much. I mean, if you're within a certain, I should say this, if you're in your mid-30s or older, chances are some of that's in your memory in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And it's part of the reason why I wrote this book was for parents who have kind of forgotten these things and have kids. And as a parent, you start to feel a weight of responsibility of what am I passing on to my kids and how am I doing it? You know? And I don't know a single parent who, when thinks about their kids, just goes, I'm doing a great job. I'm awesome. Most parents I know are like terrified.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, irreversibly damaging their children. You know, and you know, so this just became a simple way of, here's a way that parents and kids could connect in a natural context that they're already hopefully connecting, which for me, bedtime and bedtime stories is just a simple way that my kids and I, we connect every day, no matter what else is going on at bedtime, we connect and we see each other. And how could I, in the middle of the Advent season, invite more of that story into the time of connection that I have with my kids? And it was really that simple. It was sort of, it's a launch pad. It starts conversations, you know, of like, well, why do we do this? And why is it this way? And what does this mean? And tell me more about Mary, or tell me more about Joseph, or, you know, just the, kids ask a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to growing in our faith, I think asking questions are a great thing.
Absolutely. Well, once again, the name of the music collection and the children's book is called The Advent of Christmas. And in just a few moments, we'll tell you where to go to learn more and where you can grab copies of both of these items. There are so many interesting parts of your story. And in just the moments that we have left, I just wanted to ask you about just a couple of them. I don't know exactly why, because you have so many hit songs, but the first song of yours that I ever heard caught me with the first line of that song. The song, I believe, called Woke Up in America. And the first line is, I was born on a rock in the middle of the ocean where the wind's so rough it can carry you to London. First of all, just making sure... I'm deducing this correctly. There's a lot of your story in this song, right? That's fair?
Yes.
Because the second part of the question doesn't make any sense unless that's true. So give us a window into what childhood was like there in Newfoundland and Canada.
Oh, man, Newfoundland's an amazing place. If you're from Newfoundland, part of you's always there. I don't know how else to say it other than to say you're always a Newfoundlander. You'll never stop being. There's this musical playing on Broadway right now called Come From Away, and it's received a ton of acclaim. And it's the story of how on 9/11, 37 planes were diverted. I think it's around 30. I think it was 37 planes were diverted to a World War II era airport in Gander, Newfoundland. Gander's a small town that's 4.5 hours west of the capital city, St. John. The entire town opened up its doors. People opened up their homes. They gave people clothes. They gave people their cars. They gave them access to, you know, whatever. The high school gym turned into, you know, a temporary hotel almost.
Wow.
And that level of kindness and hospitality was just never seen before. And by the end of it, a bunch of the people had started a scholarship for high school students in the town that they could go away to college. And now it's a trust that I think is worth $2 million. And it's just a remarkable story of kindness. And that, I would say, is for me what it means to be a Newfoundlander was growing up in a place where the elements were very unforgiving. So, you know, the weather in Newfoundland changes every 5 minutes. It sits where the Arctic Stream and the Gulf Stream meet.
Oh.
So there was a lot of rain, drizzle, and fog. The weather was pretty temperate year-round, but winters could get harsh. But they never let it really ruin their day that much. Newfoundlanders always had an ability to have a great sense of humor, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Mm-hmm. The fishery was the primary industry there, and then it got shut down in the early 90s because of overfishing, but people found a way, you know, and then oil was the big boom. And now, you know, the economy there once again is sort of teetering on the brink of having real, real major issues. And yet the resiliency of the people sort of remains. So when I wrote, I was born on a rock in the middle of the ocean, it is a rock. It's and the wind is so strong. When I was there last March and my dad was in a coma, the town that my dad grew up in got hit by a snow hurricane. A snow hurricane.
Oh my.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it sounds like, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like 85, 90 mile per hour winds.
Wow.
And it ended and people were like, well, that was crazy. And just kind of kept going. Because I said it's a Newfoundland with an old soul reaching for the light of day. And I think there's something inherent in the culture and in the people. It's a very musical place. There's a whole musical folk song history of songs that were written in Newfoundland. Mm. You know, the Vikings made a pit stop there. It has the oldest city in North America. The first transatlantic wireless message to Europe was sent from a tower overlooking St. John's Harbor.
Wow. That is so cool.
It's a special place. And you know, there's not a lot of people from it. The population of Newfoundland's like 500,000. So if you're from there, you know, you'll inevitably have a conversation that says, well, do you know so-and-so?
I think that's probably one of the reasons I was so drawn to that imagery. Well, and you write it so well. It's such an evocative song, I mean, that you can feel it, right? And that's sort of the genius of so much of what you write. But then also, I'm from Eastern Montana myself, where there are very few human beings as well. And so I think you just captured something there that was really special for a lot of us. But we have just about 2 minutes left, brother. And so I just want to take just a moment now just to give you a chance to let us know the advent of Christmas, the new album, the full-length Christmas album, and then the children's book as well. In addition to just learning more about who you are and your really great ministry and great story, where should we go to pick up a copy of the new items and learn more about you, sir?
You can go to my website, mattmarmusic.com. If you're on Spotify or Apple Music or Amazon or just YouTube, you can go to my YouTube page. You can go to any of those other pages. It'll be streaming starting October 19th. And you can find out info about the book through my website as well. And I'll also be on a tour starting the weekend after Thanksgiving weekend called the Rock and Worship Roadshow Christmas Tour. And we'll be in about 14 cities around the country. And hopefully one of them is near you if you're listening. None in Montana, I don't think. But unfortunately.
No, that's all right. You know, usually we just use the phonograph record to listen to music out in Montana. It's a beautiful thing,
yes,
though.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I know. Yeah.
Well, brother, thank you so much. It was such a treat to get to know you a little bit more, and just keep up the great work, man. Your ministry means so much to so many. It was really a treat to meet you, sir.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.
for the love of God, woke up in America.